Nama on Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Guru Vani Pacharane, Visesha Sanyavadi, Prashkati Dejitani. Om Aganatiminandasya, Janajana Sulakaya, Chaksa Sumeratan Zena, Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama. Sri Chaitanya Manavistam, Stapitam Zena Bhutale, Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Vadati Sapadanti. Vansa Kalpa Trubhascha Kripa Sindhu Vayavacha Patitram Pabhanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Hare Krishna. Welcome to the Gopinath Festival. Raise your hand if you're here. Some of you are not sure, it seems. But what does it mean to be here? What do you think? Yes?
Your mind is easier.
Not also. Your mind is here. That's what I meant. Now what does it mean that your mind is here? It means that one's consciousness is awake and alert. Just listen, for example. The wind is moving through the branches of the trees in Gopinath Garden. Can you hear the wind? Black cockatoos. Just imagine what it would be like if that was the only sound you can make. But aside from that, welcome. Now, this is a Gopinath festival. Welcome to the Gopinath festival. And the idea of the Gopinath festival is starting your year, even though it's not the first day of the calendar year, but starting your year with Gopinath. And what we want to say is that we would like us all, you and us as well, to place Gopinath, or Krishna, or the Supreme Lord Gopinath, in the center of your life this year. Now that's a very bold thing to say. It's a bold welcome. Welcome, and we want you to do this, and we want you to do that, and do something that you may not even feel like doing. And do we even have the right? Are you still here? There are so many things going on always, right? But what do we mean? Is it even a polite thing to say we want you to place Gopinath in the center of your life this year? Is it appropriate? Is it practical? Is it polite to welcome someone with these words? And it's very bold, certainly, but can we even, practically speaking, ask you to do this? And my answer is yes. We can, and obviously we just did, but we can. But what we mean by this, exactly what we mean by this, will be discussed in more detail later. Later. A bit later. But first, welcome. Welcome here. So we'll discuss exactly what we mean by this a little bit later. Now, I wanted to tell you one of two stories. The first one will lead to the next one. Would you like to hear a story?
Yes. Good.
This one has to do with the first time I actually saw Prabhupada. And it leads into the second one quite naturally. Prabhupada was at 26 Second Avenue. He had returned from India in 1968. And I was in the university in upstate New York, And the devotee who introduced me to serious chanting about Krishna, he asked me if I wanted to go meet Prabhupada, and of course I did. So we went down to see him, myself and one other young college student. We went down to see Prabhupada. And we arrived on a Friday night, and there was a class going on. And since we don't have very much time right now, I won't tell you about that class and all my experiences. But I'll tell you something that happened the Monday that I left back for my university. And then right after that, I'll tell you something that happened Sunday at the Sunday feast. Now, on Monday, usually we would tell Sunday before Monday, but today we will tell Monday before Sunday. That on Monday, I was asked if I wanted to go to the morning walk with Prabhupada, and he was walking to Tompkins Square Park. So, how interesting! We had heard about Prabhupada. We heard that he was so special, and he appeared so special. He seemed so special, but to go alone with him or with three other devotees, how could one refuse that? And certainly I didn't want to. So I walked with Prabhupada, and walking through the early morning streets of New York City was very interesting. And I had a very peculiar thought, a question in my mind, and the question was, is when the traffic lights are red, this may sound like a funny question, I was wondering if Prabhupada would walk through the red light. Or he would follow naturally the proper way to do everything, which no New Yorker would ever do, but stop at the red light, even though there was no traffic. Now, what do you think he did, Niraj? He certainly did. There was a red light, and he just kept on going. Of course, he looked this way, and he looked that way, but he kept on going. And I thought, my first thought was, oh, Krishna consciousness is very practical. But I also saw another thing, that although he walked through the streets of New York, and if you see any videos of Prabhupada, or if you had any experience of being directly with Prabhupada, it's very clear that he was there in New York or in Los Angeles or anywhere, or San Francisco or anywhere, London, Paris, anywhere. And he was practically, and his consciousness was fully clear, but he wasn't really there. It was like he had just landed from a different dimension or something like that, and he was participating on a certain level, but not really there. He was there, but not there. He was there, and he was really there. His consciousness was fully clear, but he was somewhere else. And that somewhere else was very sweet, because his presence, you could tell by his presence, and his presence was very sweet. So sweet, so appealing, so attractive. That was Monday. But on Sunday, he gave a class, and I'll just tell you a little bit about what I remember, because I only remember a little bit, because it was many years ago. He spoke about Prahlad Maharaj. Now, I didn't really know anything about Prahlad Maharaj, because there were no books at that time, and coming from a different culture, I didn't know who Prahlad Maharaj was. But in his class, he said that Prahlad Maharaj was a devotee, but he acted in the mode of goodness. And I had been chanting already for maybe seriously for 3 or 4 months, so I already knew everything. And I knew especially that devotees were transcendental. They were beyond even the mode of goodness. So Prabhupada, at the end of his class, asked if there were any questions. Raise my hand. And he said, yes. And I said, you said in your class that devotees, that Prahlad Maharaj acted in the mode of goodness, but I thought devotees were transcendental to the mode of goodness. I didn't really know what the mode of goodness was. I didn't know what transcendental was. Because I was just a spiritual little baby. So I asked him, and he answered in a very simple way, and he said, yes, devotees are transcendental, but generally, he only said generally once, but I said it twice, generally, devotees act in the mode of goodness. Devotees are transcendental, but generally they act in the mode of goodness, sattva guna. Now, without going into a lecture on what is the mode of goodness and what is the mode of passion and what is the mode of ignorance, I would like to jump and tell you what transcendental actually means. Because when we are talking about becoming closer to Gopinath and making him the center, what we're speaking about is becoming closer to being transcendental. Not exactly of this world, but yet in this world, acting practically, but yet really on a different level of consciousness. And to do this, I'm going to read a little bit of a description from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, I believe. Chapter 4, rather, about the consciousness of a young boy who was 5 years old, but he was transcendental. And this will give us a clue to what it's like to be transcendental when you are here, but your consciousness is far above the very small things of this world. You act practically, but your consciousness has a different quality to it. And what is that transcendental quality? It's being exhibited by Prahlad Maharaj, as explained by, I think it's Lord Brahma explaining. He says, his mind was always Krishna conscious. That means it was filled not only with thinking about Krishna, but tasting the sweetness of relationship with Krishna. Everyone in this world is lonely. There's one interesting phrase I heard recently in the realm of psychology. The person said, the cure for loneliness is solitude. And that means, what he meant by that is finding out what supports you. Because usually we're relying on so many things to support us, mostly distraction of one kind or another, or watching this, or looking at that, or drinking that, or doing this, or keeping always busy. But to find out what supports you when all those things are taken away. So it's relationship. We have a relationship with Krishna. But now it's a little bit sleeping. But it wasn't in Prahlad Maharaj, and therefore he was transcendental. His mind was always affected by Krishna consciousness, by his relationship with Krishna. And he could not understand how the world could even go on absorbed in the kind of activities that the world was absorbed in. That is, anything, do anything except think of one's, be living in one's relationship with Krishna. He was always absorbed in thinking of Krishna. It was natural because he loved Krishna. He felt himself always being embraced by Krishna. And he was so immersed in his relationship with Krishna, he didn't even know how his bodily necessities, such as sitting, walking, eating, lying down, drinking and talking, they were just being automatically performed. But yet, he was acting practically. And because of his advancement in Krishna consciousness, in his relationship with Krishna, sometimes tears would come down his eyes. And sometimes, out of nowhere, he would start laughing madly, and sometimes he would just be jubilant. What does jubilant mean? Don't everyone answer at once, because it's the roar may be too great for us. What does jubilant mean? Yeah, happy, but, you know, just add a few levels. Huh?
Elatedly,
happily, joyfully, blissfully, ecstatic, one might even say. His moods would change, but all of them were filled with ecstasy. Why was he crying? Because he was a little boy, and like when a little boy is with his mummy, he's so happy and he will laugh, and then when his mother disappears and goes away, maybe she has something else to do. Maybe tears would come from his eyes. And then when his mother would return, he'd become jubilant, happy. But this was all with Krishna on the spiritual level, and he was experiencing this continuously. And sometimes, in his jubilation, he would just start to dance in happiness. And being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he felt there was no separation between him and Krishna, even though he was an individual and Krishna was an individual. And sometimes he would actually feel the touch of Krishna's hand, and then he would become very jubilant inside. And then he would become silent, just absorbed internally, in his own mood. His hairs would stand on end, tears would glide down his half-closed eyes because of his love for the Lord. That is what it's like to be transcendental, that type of absorption. And what we are suggesting, and we'll talk about this more later, is that we should wish to become transcendental. We may not have the capacity at this point for one reason or another, but if this desire becomes planted firmly in our hearts, we are very fortunate. Now, would you like to be transcendental, or at least more transcendental? But you don't have to raise your hands, and we're not going to like count and write it down. But we hope that everyone will have this desire blossom like a seed in the heart, like a seed will blossom into a very fragrant flower. Okay. Barbara, could you play the harmonium gently, and just for a few moments, like everyone to just close their eyes. If you're over 7 years old, if you're under 7 years old or 8 years old, you can keep your eyes open and keep coloring if you want. But everyone else, or if you want to at any age, just close your eyes. And first, chant the Hare Krishna mantra in your mind. You could sing any tune if you want, or if you can just say the mantra, but chant it in your mind with your eyes closed. Whisper the Hare Krishna mantra in any way you like. Hare Krishna. try to focus your mind on it. Think of your favorite deity, or picture of Krishna, or little Gopinath, and chant very silently, but put a flower in your hand. Can you do it? Put a flower in your hand. And as you're saying the Hare Krishna mantra in your mind, make that mantra into a prayer. Let me come closer to you, Krishna. And place that prayer in the flower. On the flower, in the flower. Let me serve you. Let me please you. And then, as a gesture of your prayer, offer that flower to Gopinath. Make a very nice prayer. Okay, now when you're ready, you can open your eyes, and I want to tell you another little story that's true. Last Sunday, we ended our virtual Govardhan retreat. And at the end of the retreat, in our retreats in Govardhan, we all stand up, and there are hundreds of people all over the world standing up, and we'd say, Jai Jai Si Radhe Sham Jai Bolo Giran, and it's so joyful. And we do this at Govardhan also. So Jay took a little video of this, of us doing this and going all around the room and doing that, jai, jai, see, but having our mind so focused on the holy name of Krishna this way, and it was so jubilant. And I have a friend who lives in Canada who's a Zen Buddhist priest. But I know him since we went to the university together, and he's quite famous. He's a poet, and he writes poetry in the Zen Buddhist way. So I sent him that, and I said, this is Zen Hare Krishna. This is Hare Krishna Zen style, or maybe it was Zen Hare Krishna style. And he wrote back, he said, when I saw that, I was so happy. I couldn't help but just laughing and smiling and laughing and smiling and laughing and smiling. Because the relationship, if we can awaken our relationship with Krishna, if we can become more transcendental, we will laugh and smile and sometimes cry when we can't see Krishna, and sometimes dance in ecstasy. Now, and yet another story, but this story is about someone else who is completely transcendental. And his name visit altars to offer incense and receive sweet rice.
Oh, here, someone's coming.
Yes. What should we do now?
Remember when you had suggested that everyone could mentally offer, you would lead them in mentally offering the sweet rice that they've brought for Gopinath?
But by mistake, I had them offer a flower.
And those who didn't bring can mentally prepare
okay.
Sweet rice and offer to Gopinath.
Okay, close your eyes. Harmonium. Sweet rice. Make some sweet rice. And don't say you don't know how. Somehow make it really taste nicely. It tastes really good. What are the ingredients?
Well, everyone knows what ingredients they've used, and if they haven't used any, you can use anything you like.
But we should rice and milk at least.
And sugar.
And sugar, yes.
And dry beetroot.
And dry fruits. What else? Yeah, yes, yes. Okay, make some sweet rice. But you have to use a nice flame. And stir it nicely so it doesn't get burnt. Now, put it in a nice clay pot. Put a special tulsi leaf on it, in it. And put a spoon. And put it on a nice golden plate or any other valuable plate that you have. And put some flowers around it so it looks beautiful. If you want, you can put a little bit of camphor in it, special camphor. And then you can place some incense so everything is fragrant and fresh. And in your mind, go in front of Gopinath. And just say, please accept this. If you accept this, I'll be so fortunate. And I've made it just for you. And then offer any prayer you like.
Opportunity to visit all of our Gopinaths who are presiding over the festival. So while the kirtan is happening, we can visit each altar, and at each altar you will have the opportunity to offer a service to Gopinath. Take darshan, offer a service, and in return maybe Gopinath will give you some of his Mahaprasad sweet rice. And Nav Kishori, do you want to go and get that basket of boxes? And Braj Mohan, maybe you can, and Takarani, can you go and help? Jai, Bimal, can you all go get boxes? And you are going to get some boxes. So when you go to each altar, you will receive a cup of sweet rice. Please place that cup of maha inside your box. And so as you go to the six altars, you will have six cups of sweet rice. When your box is full, you will take it to the table at the back. And when you turn in your box of maha, you'll get it back later. We will try to promise. And having done, taken darshan and offered service and collected mahaprasadam for all our gopinaths will qualify you for a special trip. And you'll receive your boarding pass to go on this journey with a great soul to some special holy places. But first, you have to complete all your services and collect all of your maha and turn your boxes in at the back. And we have some markers there at the back, so you can write your name on your box if you are attached to receiving back the maha that you personally received from Gopinath. Thank you. Jai Radha, you can start the kirtan. And we will begin. So please, we have 6 altars. So pujaris, please come to your altars. And everyone else, you can start at any altar you like and then just continue in a clockwise motion from altar to altar.
Where do we put this?
Give everyone a box. So please make sure you get a box.
Do you understand what you have to do? Yes.
Any questions? Anyone confused? Just follow everybody else.
Half the price.